Chapter 9, Kanpo, Healing. The life so short, the craft so long to learn. Hippocrates. After an exhausting class, the master indulged in a game. This was quite unusual. "Do as I do," he instructed. He picked up his glass. His partner did likewise. He placed it on top of his head. So did the student. He held it at arm's length. His actions were mirrored. He drank the contents. So did his reflection. He placed the glass on the table in front of him. The other joined it. He picked it up again, placed it to his mouth, and refilled it with the sake that he had evidently not swallowed. His partner, of course, could not follow suit. "Take care not to do a thing that you cannot also undo," he said, his meaning clear. Then he laughed. There is an established tradition that senior practitioners of the martial arts should also know the rudiments of healing. The attainment of this objective is facilitated by the consonance of the theories underlying these ostensibly antithetical pursuits. At its highest level, the study of Kyusho Jutsu, pressure points in striking, is virtually indistinguishable from Shinjutsu, acupuncture. The sensitivity of touch required to execute kuzushi in the course of a throw can also be used to heal in the practice of reiki. The anatomical discoveries made by Yoshimitsu's dissection of corpses, which contributed to the foundation of the Daito Ryu style of Aikijujutsu, are no different in substance from Galen's anatomical studies in Pergamum during the 2nd century. They are different faces of the same coin. Knowledge of healing can take many forms. For example, during a childhood riding lesson, the master's foot was crushed by a particularly large and headstrong horse. So bad was the injury that doctors feared the master might never walk again and could offer little in the way of therapy. Luckily, there was a family elder who had experience with certain traditional forms of natural healing. In defiance of the conventional prognosis, the injured foot was treated with a series of herbal poultices. Within a few days, the swollen purple stump had mutated back into something resembling a foot, albeit a tender one, yellowed by maturing bruises. Within a week, the master was walking after a fashion. Within a month, there was no remnant of the injury at all, other than a lesson in the value of alternative paths to a common goal. Rather than merely seeking to mask the symptoms of pathology by dulling the senses with chemicals, Oriental medicine looks to the environment for causes and to the natural world for solutions. The therapeutic and analgesic properties of many ancient remedies are only now achieving recognition in the Western medical community. The recency of this phenomenon is particularly ironic in that Hippocrates, the acknowledged father of Western medicine, contemplated considerations such as the weather, the quality of drinking water, and the paths of favorable winds in his treatise Airs, Waters, and Places, 2.5 millennia ago. It is said in the martial arts that the sword that takes life can also give life. Quite apart from the cosmological balance achieved by embracing this bifurcated approach to martial training, there is also the very practical consideration that the master of a dojo may well be called upon to administer triage to an injured student at some point until help arrives. For this reason, the rudiments of first aid should be considered integral to the education of a martial arts teacher. Laws have been passed in many jurisdictions, in fact, requiring that a CPR-certified first responder be on hand whenever and wherever strenuous physical activity is taking place in an institutional setting. To delay preparation until a situation is emergent is the hallmark of the foolhardy. The superior warrior employs his superior skills to avoid a situation in which he will be forced to call upon them.